My inspiration came from seeing these things happening across in the UK, in England, Scotland, Wales, and so on and so forth. And I thought to myself, well, why isn't there something being done like that over here? How rife it would it be over here if I literally just tipped my toe into the water? Well, I got a rude awakening when I done so. And from then, I wanted to stand up and fight the good fight. Because clearly the system is failing these children.
So your contacts with the PSNI, mm-hmm. What exactly are they?
You know, without naming officers, it's took a long time, in fairness, for the officers on the ground. It's not been fair on them, to be honest. It's the hierarchy that have not trained these individuals on how to deal with positions like this, simply because they're not trained themselves in regards to the hierarchies. These individuals that we hear in the press, they are by no means trained whatsoever and hard to deal with this. And it's why we're here. It's why we exist. Paedophile hunters, child protection, whatever you want to call us, we're simply here because they just... It's as simple as this. I want to sound ignorant. They don't know how to do it correctly. They don't know how to deal with these individuals correctly. The sentencing system, the court system, everything right down to the core is not built to deal with these individuals. I speak for the public of Northern Ireland. I have thousands and thousands of people from my own country that follow and applaud exactly the cause of what I'm fighting for.
Well, they're just ordinary members of the public, and they have come together to set up these so-called paedophile hunting groups. So it's just a collection of individuals. And I'd say that there are probably about 10 of these self-appointed groups operating here at the moment. And this is what they do. This is how they go about their business. One of the groups pretends that they're a child and goes on the internet. And this decoy person then communicates with someone else who the paedophile hunters think or believe is an online sexual predator. And the person who speaks to the decoy is then lured to a public place or for a fictitious meeting, or the paedophile hunters turn up on their doorstep and confront them. And they're then questioned by the group members about their alleged actions. And the whole thing is broadcast live on Facebook with thousands watching. The police are then called, and the evidence that the group says it has against the individual is then handed over to them.
The obvious problem here would be, with all of these thousands of people watching, what happens if they get the wrong person?
Well, I mean, that's just one of the many problems, really, that have been raised in relation to this type of activity. For a start, they don't always find the person they're looking for. For example, there was a case in Antrim last month where around a dozen people, and some of them wearing masks, turned up on the doorstep of a woman's house insisting that there was a paedophile inside. And, you know, there wasn't. I mean, the woman was living there with her two small children and her elderly mother, and she was terrified when these people started banging on her door, alleging that there was a paedophile in her house. And this happened in Antrim's Spring Farm estate, and Seamus Davis, he's from the local neighbourhood watch, and he heard the commotion.
There was 3 to 4 cars. The people that were around me were about 8. Men and women. The woman had masks on. Now, I asked them scarves. I asked them why they were wearing scarves. And it was said to hide their faces. And I said, well, if you're doing something legit, why are you hiding your face for? I said, look, you're in the wrong place. Then they called me a paedophile lover. And I said, look, let me tell you, I hate paedophiles as much as anybody else. But this way you're doing this is totally wrong. This is a job for the police. And I told them, I said to them, you're just behaving like a bunch of vigilantes.
And Joel, I did speak to the lady whose house they called to. Now, she was too frightened to record an interview, but She told me she was absolutely terrified, and she said that one of her small children hid under the bed when all this was going on. And she says that her elderly mother, who also lives in the house with her, she's now afraid to go out as a result.
That's an example of what happens when they turn up at the wrong house. There are many people listening, Kevin, who won't have seen a video on Facebook of what actually happened. So say they find someone who they are looking for. Explain to us what then happens for people who haven't seen a video.
Yeah, well, let me give you maybe a flavour of some of the recent incidents. Most people who are cornered by these paedophile hunters, well, they stand passively until the police arrive. But that's not always the case. I mean, there was an example last month where a group lured a man to a meeting and they pinned him down in the dark on the pavement when he attempted to walk away. Now, this happened in Belfast City Centre around about 8 o'clock in the evening. And this is an audio recording of that encounter, which the paedophile hunters put out live on Facebook as it was happening. Now, eventually the man, and you'll hear him screaming in this clip, he passed out, and the group holding him there, they actually had to call an ambulance for him.
We're live now. Help! You okay?
Help!
Can you breathe? Can you breathe okay?
No! No!
Okay. Right, off his chest. Sit back against that wall. Keep his legs out flat so he can't get up. Stop struggling. That's it.
Do you not realise you're not getting away, pal?
You're
you just
moving.
Need to sit here. There's
about 10 of us boys here. Not going anywhere. Police are on the way.
Come on out! Come and help the paedophile! Come on! You think they're going to help you, boy?
Now, the man who you heard crying for help there, he was later interviewed by the police and he's on bail pending further inquiries. Now, here's another example where a man is lured to a public place. Now, he's dead in his car after he was surrounded by a group of paedophile hunters, and eventually you hear his car window being smashed.
I'm live. See if you have his car and putting this window and killing you out by the throat, do you understand? Do you understand? Stay away from the car. Everybody stay back, please. And security, keep people back. Move back. Everybody move back. Stay back, please, everybody. Stay back. Security, get them back now. That phone is evidence. Where's your keys?
Kevin, is this legal? You know, if you don't get out of the car, I'm breaking the window and trailing you out by the throat.
I showed these video versions to the one of the man being pinned down on the ground and then the one that you just heard of the car window being smashed. I showed them to Jim Gamble, the former chief executive of the Child Exploitation and Online Protection Centre unit of the police. Now, he's very concerned about the actions of these groups.
We don't know whether the people that they've accosted are innocent. People are innocent until proven guilty. So if you just look at the action of those people who have, you know, labelled themselves paedophile hunters, most of the stuff you've shown me is in fact criminal in and of itself. Taking predators off the street is critically important. But doing it in a way where they stay off the street, that's important. Anyone live streaming these incidents isn't actually about the justice of catching someone who represents a threat to children. They're about the self-publicity, and, you know, the self-centred approach about themselves, much more than about making children safer.
Now, I mean, Jim Gamble has just touched on some of the issues around this activity. There are others, like, for example, you know, is there entrapment? Is the evidence that these groups are gathering of sufficient quality? Does it meet the threshold necessary for convictions? Are they contaminating evidence as they go along? I mean, is there an evidence trail established? And for those reasons, West Yorkshire Police, for example, they've written to groups in their area and in their patch telling them, look, stop this as you could be interfering with any ongoing police investigations. And I understand, Joel, from around, I think police told me about 100 cases of this nature that have been reported to them by these paedophile hunting groups. Not a single person has been charged.
You've been trying to track some of the leaders of the groups down. You know, what do you find when you meet them? What sort of people are they? Who are they?
Yeah, well, you're right. I mean, they maintain this anonymity, and they use aliases and anonymous Facebook accounts, and so it's very difficult to hold anybody to account, really, for this activity and for what's going on. Now, as you say, I wanted to find out, though, who are they really? And to give them an opportunity to explain why they do what they do and to make them accountable for their actions, but without keeping their identity secret, to have a face-to-face conversation with them where they appear with their real names and no false identity.
So how difficult was it, and did you have any success?
Yes. The leader of one of the groups, which calls itself Justice Reborn, and many of these groups have these kind of quasi-legal, official-sounding names like Justice Reborn, Silent Justice, this type of thing. There's the leader of one group, she goes by the alias of Chelsea Lewis. That's just a name she has chosen to use on Facebook. Her real name is Sharon Shanks, and she lives in South Belfast. And here's an example of her and her group confronting a man live on Facebook alleging he's been speaking to one of our decoys.
I'm Chelsea Lewis from Justice Reborn. We're an online paedophile hunting group. Don't touch me.
Now, I wanted to ask her just about, you know, this sort of activity. And I caught up with Sharon Shanks, alias Chelsea Lewis, as she returned from one of her encounters where she had just confronted another of her targets. You know, that had been filmed live on Facebook, but she herself was very reluctant to be filmed when I turned up.
Hi, I'm Kevin McGee from BBC News. I'd like to ask you a few questions.
No, close the door.
I'd like to ask you a few questions. What authority do you have?
So she obviously didn't want to speak to you. She didn't have very much to say to you, Kevin. You mentioned she runs one of the groups, Justice Reborn. What about the other groups? Did anybody else have anything to say from any of those?
Yes. Last August, a man from County Antrim was accused of being a paedophile by one of these groups, and he took his own life 2 days later. Now, the person who confronted him calls himself James O'Neill on Facebook, but his real name is George Keenan, and he's from West Belfast. A few days ago, he fell out with some of the other hunting groups and posted a video of himself on Facebook attacking the others. Now, here's a flavour of what he said. I've bleeped out the expletives, but even at that, some listeners might find this offensive. So if you want to turn the volume down for 20 seconds, go ahead. So this is the paedophile hunter, George Keenan.
I was the first one to base myself in around these parts. And no one knows what it was like in the start. And I'm going to say this now, and I need to make this very clear. You know where I live. You know where I am. If you want to come to me, I'll break your jaw in two.
So that's Mr. Keenan directing his anger at fellow paedophile hunters. Did you get to speak to him directly, Kevin?
Yes, I did. I wanted to give him a chance, you know, but without giving him anonymity, to explain why he feels he's best placed to chase down people he believes are paedophiles and go ahead and confront them live on Facebook.
Kevin McGee, BBC News. I'd like to ask you a few questions, if I could, Mr. Keenan, about your role as a self-appointed paedophile hunter. Are you a vigilante?
Are you serious? Get out of my sight. Leave me alone. Stay away from anybody. Anybody that I have previously worked with. You are harassing people.
Why don't
now
you answer the questions?
These two individuals
why
are your
don't
backup.
Why don't you answer the questions?
I'm asking your question. I am not here to answer your questions.
Why don't you
you're
tell me
disgusting.
About your activities
no,
as a
I
self-appointed
will not speak to you.
Paedophile
your conduct
hunter.
Does not deserve me to talk to you.
Was that the end of it, Kevin?
No. Later in the day, I got a call from a member of one of the paedophile hunting groups saying that he wanted to meet me as he had some important information for me, and I agreed to meet him in a coffee shop in Botanic Avenue in Belfast. But I took him at face value, but it was a trap. I'd been sitting there for a while, and then a man came in, identified me, and then a crowd of people rushed through the door and surrounded me and hemmed me, and I couldn't leave the coffee shop. And the man leading them was the same man, George Keenan, who I doorstepped earlier in the day and who you just heard there talking to me when I doorstepped him.
How does it feel to be confronted by a bunch of... Don't take your hands off me. How does it feel to be confronted? No, stop touching myself.
Excuse me.
You don't like this, Kevin, do you?
Excuse me.
Kevin, it's not good, is it? This is the closest you will get to any of these groups. Do you understand? You came here tonight thinking you were going to get stuff on me. You better watch your self. Now, do you know what you call this? This is what you call power. No, this is what you don't like. You're not a paedophile. That's why I'm not at your home. You don't go to my home. Did I make myself clear?
Did I get past this?
Let's go. Yeah.
I mean, of all the programmes you've made, Kevin, and people will remember Spotlight programmes and everything you've had, I'd say being in the middle of that was something of a first.
Well, yes, I mean, it's never been as bad as that, ever. And, you know, I've been here in this organisation for 25 years. I've worked in all sorts of programmes and I've never had a personal confrontation like that before.
But I suppose the point is, Kevin, not to get lost in all of what happened to you, which was serious, but having given the groups the opportunity to make their case, to set out their stall, they've basically decided not to do that.
Yeah, I mean, the kind of the irony of in all of this for me is that, you know, I did everything I possibly could to hear their point of view, provided that they were prepared to give it without hiding behind anonymity, as they do when they're out on the doing what they do. And, you know, tried to give them that opportunity, but what they preferred to do was react in the way they did.
Three men have appeared in court facing a total of 56 charges in relation to so-called paedophile hunter groups in Northern Ireland. The charges relate to the alleged activities of the groups. Declan Harvey was in court.
George Keenan of Glenwood Court in Dunmurry, Richard Curtis of Albert Road in Carrickfergus, and Tim Heron of Cloverhill Vale in Bangor all appeared in the dock together. They're accused, among other charges, of assault, unlawful imprisonment and intimidation. All three were bailed and banned from using any social media platforms, dating apps or mobile phones with internet access. They were also told to stay away from anyone associated with paedophile hunter groups. They'll appear in court again on the 17th of April.
A self-styled paedophile hunter has been jailed for breaching his bail conditions within 24 hours of them being set. 34-year-old George Keenan of Glenwood Court in Dunmurry sent a note using the messaging service WhatsApp, despite being banned from using smartphones and social media apps. He was one of three men accused of attempting unlawfully by force, threats or menaces to cause BBC journalist Kevin McGee to refrain from broadcasting an interview on television, as well as disorderly behaviour.